Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Fashioned by Flames by Gray Holborn. Narrated by Ash Beverly and Hannah Altagracia. Chapter 1. Wade.
I believe these belong to you, more or less.
The fracture in the all-consuming silence sent my heart racing. It was a strange feeling, being so alone with no thoughts but your own, that you started to suspect nothing else even existed anymore. Maybe it never had. That was until something outside of yourself pulled you back, grounding you into the reality you were hovering aimlessly above, just out of reach. Instantly, my brain tried placing the deep, unfamiliar voice, but I couldn't. No one had visited me here other than the cloaked man and Max. My muscles tensed as I lifted my body off my sorry excuse for a bed and stood up, my hands instinctively ready to fight whichever new piece of shit hell had to throw at me. I'd been on even higher alert than normal since Max landed here. Hope had a strange way of blending with fear. Like now that I had something to lose, I wanted desperately to grab onto it and keep it safe. When I saw them there, crowded in my cell, I fell back down onto the bed. Excitement and panic and fear all fighting for center stage low in my gut. They looked like shit, but they were alive. They were here. Eli? Declan? The words came out in a whisper, like my body was subconsciously afraid that saying their names too loudly would give me too much hope. The sort of hope I wouldn't be able to come back from if it wasn't really them. Them, and some guy I'd never seen before. He had a no-fucks-given kind of vibe, and the sort of expression usually reserved for watching paint dry on a wall. Ignoring him, I got back up as soon as the shock faded and rendered my body usable again. It took less than a moment to close the distance and wrap my arms around Declan as she collapsed onto me. She was cut up pretty badly and covered in blood, though I couldn't tell how much of it was hers. When I pulled back slightly to get a better look at her, to solidify the reality that she was, in fact, here, I saw that her eyes were wide and strained with an unfamiliar sort of fear and discomfort. She choked back a gag, and my stomach tightened for her. I'd only been shifted through space twice since being pulled into hell, but both times it felt fucking awful, like my body was ripping apart and sewing itself back together all at once. Even the memory of the feeling made me taste bile.
But I'd survived it, which meant that she would too.
She just needed a moment of fresh air, which she sure as hell wasn't going to get in my little cell. I pulled her back to me and breathed her in, burying my face in her neck, simultaneously happy to see her and afraid of what exactly it meant. They'd found me. Like, actually found me. But now they were stuck in the same dungeon as I was, with no way out. My friends were powerful, the strongest of our kind, but they were no match for the things hell had in store. I pushed the brief wave of relief away as shame took its place. They shouldn't be here, should never have come looking for me. Even though my dreams with Max were the one thing getting me through this whole experience, part of me wished I'd never had them, that I'd never lured her and everyone I cared about into the sort of situation that horror films were made from. As soon as Max had teleported out of my grasp after her visit, I'd half convinced myself that I'd imagined her visit, that she hadn't really dragged herself and my team to hell, that she was some desperation-conjured hallucination my brain concocted to make my agonizingly slow death somewhat palatable. Now that Eli and Declan were here, though, I felt the final wisps of that possibility disappear in the wind. Or, well, the stale air, maybe. Eli looked far worse than Deck did. All of his weight was still leaning against the strange man, his eyes glassy and empty, like he wasn't completely conscious or aware of what was going on around him. My stomach dipped as I took a step closer to them, unsure of whether or not I should reach for him or let him be. His expression looked so vacant, so far from the mischievous intelligence I was used to seeing on his face. Without it, he was almost unrecognizable to me, like a phantom image of the Eli that I knew. "What the fuck happened to you guys?" I asked, though I was terrified of the answer. "Where are the others? Where's Max?" Had she gotten caught? Had the cloaked man punished her for leaving her cell and visiting me? I reached one arm towards Eli, but he groaned as the man set him down on the floor, with neither roughness nor care. Without a word or a second glance, the man dissolved into nothingness before my eyes. There one moment, gone the next. Was everyone in hell capable of teleporting? The guild was truly out of its depth if that was the case. How did I spend so many years studying, so many years mastering all of the information about demons that I could get my hands on, and still be so completely unprepared for this world? What chance did we have of surviving this place? I stared briefly at the stone spot the man had been standing on. No matter how many times I watched people teleport in front of me, my brain still couldn't make sense of it. Couldn't figure out how a person could be standing in front of me one second and then simply disappear the next. I knew magic was real, obviously. I hunted vampires and werewolves, for crying out loud. But this was some next-level fuckery. Leading Declan quickly to my makeshift bed of rags, I forced her to sit down and catch her breath, and then I crouched down by Eli. His pulse was faint as I pressed my fingers to his neck, barely a soft flutter for me to pick up, even with my heightened senses. What the fuck happened to him? My hand trailed clinically over his body, uselessly trying to fix whatever this was. If any of my friends died during this ridiculously ill-conceived rescue mission, I'd never be able to live with myself. I'd have preferred for the cloaked man to kill me in those woods where he'd found me than be responsible for losing another member of my team. "Magical blade thing?" Declan responded, her own breathing labored as her wide eyes stared unblinking at me. Her voice was raspy and anxious, the way she sounded when she was woken unexpectedly in the middle of the night, on edge, ready for a fight, ready to protect. I stared at Eli's abdomen, his black shirt wet with blood. My jaw tightened as I remembered the peculiar feeling of my body being torn to shreds from what was likely that very blade not too long ago. I was no longer an easy creature to kill, but that blade had nearly done it.
"Wade, you're alive."
Her sentence was cut short by the reappearance of the man from before. Only now he arrived with two new passengers. The platinum vampire that Max had freed from Guild Labs when this nightmare first started, and a raven-furred werewolf. Atlas's wolf had a tawny brown coloring, so I knew instantly that this wasn't him. I scanned the room, like he might appear next at a moment's notice, if I just wished for it hard enough. Then again, did I really want him here, locked in this dungeon with me? Only if the alternative was that he was in deeper trouble, or worse.
"There,"
the man said, swiping his hands together as he looked around at my cell, which had grown significantly more compact by the addition of so many bodies. He scrunched his nose, like merely being in our presence was disgusting to him.
That ought to keep you all occupied for a bit.
Wait.
But my request died on my lips as the man's ethereal blue eyes shifted to mine. He shot me a shit-eating grin and a wink before he disappeared once more. I knew how much energy and concentration it took for Max to teleport just once, but he'd done it 4 times in the last minute or two, and with 4 bodies in tow. How the hell did any of us stand a chance against any of these guys? We were fucked. Arms wrapped around my neck with enough force that I almost thought I was being attacked. But when I tensed under the pressure and shifted my head to the side, I was met with a face full of Declan's tangled dark hair and a familiar waft of strawberries, though it was buried under a week's worth of grime and blood. The familiar scent that had perfumed half of our cabin engulfed me, and I let her collapse against me, shifting slightly so that I could return the violent hug with equal force. She started shaking against me as her shock wore off, and I felt the unfamiliar droplets of tears against my skin. Deck rarely cried. Not in front of people, anyway. And most certainly not in front of the enemy. For her to be breaking down in front of a vampire and werewolf had to mean that she'd been through some shit. I clenched my jaw as I thought about what that might mean for Atlas. My eyes darted to the intruding pair, hovering over Eli, and I tightened my arms around Deck. Was this some sort of test? Throwing a pair of demons in my cage to see who would survive the scuffle? It was the sort of game theory I'd expect from hell, anyway. But at the moment, neither of them seemed particularly ready to pounce. Talk to me, Deck. I need to know what's going on. Is Eli okay? Atlas? Have you seen Max?
You're alive, she repeated, her voice watery like she was holding back a sob and another rough wave of tears. I mean, I believed her, of course, that you were imprisoned here. That you were still alive in some capacity, if altered a bit. I wouldn't have hopped through a portal into hell just for shits and giggles. But I think somehow I didn't quite let myself believe it. Didn't fully let myself hope. But she was right. We found you.
I didn't want to alert her to the fact that in the process of finding me, she'd gone and gotten herself in the exact same position she was trying to rescue me from. Instead, I pressed against her, trying to curb the anxiety rolling through my body as she processed what she needed to process. It's good to see you, too. And it really was. As much as I didn't want her here, didn't want any of them here, not even Max, I couldn't deny that the hole in my chest that had been eating me alive, draining away the last vestiges of hope and humanity I had left, felt smaller somehow, just from their appearance.
You look different, she whispered, words choked and tight. More, just more, somehow.
I started to pull away from her a bit, to give her space, knowing that she was seeing whatever transformations the incubus had made. But she pulled me back to her with surprising force, considering her condition, and shook her head.
Not in a bad way. Still you.
My body loosened, fell deeper into the hug. She knew what I was. I knew that Max had told her, that they'd all figured it out. But she wasn't afraid of me, didn't despise me for housing an incubus beneath my skin.
This is quite heartwarming and all,
a deep, bored voice echoed around us.
Truly a sight to behold. But we need to focus on the fact that the little protector has been left alone with Lucifer, of all people, and we're packed like sardines in a tiny stone room that smells like weak old piss and shit.
I pulled away,
shoving Declan behind me slightly as I studied the vamp. He didn't look much better off than Eli, his hand pressed against his stomach as he leaned in a half-seated position against the wall. His strange eyes were mismatched and focused on me with an emotion I couldn't read, though he seemed to be disguising the brunt of his pain quite well. My team had almost gotten themselves killed trying to capture him after his escape, and now here he was, trapped in my own supernatural cage. It was like the universe was laughing at us all. His words caught up with my brain a moment too late, anger making way for shock. Lucifer? The vamp grinned, his sharp canines flashing briefly as his gaze met mine, the challenge clear. I wasn't the only demon in this room. The one and only. Apparently, some of the ancients are alive and officially back on this plane. Two of them, anyway. No clue how, no clue why. But there you have it. You've met them both. Our girl's gone and gotten herself in the middle of one giant, apocalypse-sized clusterfuck. Our girl? My teeth clenched, and I felt soft fingers prying at the tight fist balling my fingers. Declan was trying to untangle them, to get me to relax. "You knew that the devil was real?" she asked, brows bent in accusation. But I didn't miss the brief look of betrayal in her eyes. She trusted him, at least enough to be shocked by his deception. All I knew about this creep was that he'd manipulated Max into letting him out of his glass box, only to almost get her and my entire team killed. Hell, myself included. He was the catalyst that eventually led to me getting my neck snapped in the first place. And then he'd somehow manipulated them all into letting him escape a second time. Now, they were all trapped in hell thanks to him, in more danger than they'd ever been before. And Deck trusted him? What the hell was I missing about this guy? Did he have hypnotic powers or something? Don't pout, princess. It does nothing for your face. Trust me, I may have joked about it, sure, but if I actually thought there was a flying hippo shot in hell that the ancients were still alive, you'd know it. I wouldn't have joined this ridiculous venture into hell. I'd have grabbed the girl and gotten the fuck out of Dodge before shit hit the fan. Especially that particular ancient. Up until today, he'd mostly been lore. It's long been assumed that most of the ancients were killed or left the realm during the creation of hell. He let out a long, exaggerated sigh. This particular change-up will certainly make whatever fight is brewing infinitely more interesting. The devil? I said again, chuckling as my eyes darted between them, expecting the hell version of a hidden camera host to make themselves present any moment now. You're pulling my dick. The vampire tilted his head, considering. Not currently. But if that would get you to focus and give us whatever information you have on the guy, I'm not opposed to it. Far less messy than peeling off each fingernail until you squeal. With more agility than I was used to, I closed the distance between us, my forearm pressing against the fanghole's throat until he was pinned against the wall. I wasn't as strong as a vampire, sure, especially not after who know how long in solitude, but the incubus beneath my skin wasn't without a heavy dose of power either. He cocked a brow, that arrogant smirk of his looking more and more like a permanent fixture, rather than a passing taunt. I guess she has a type then, doesn't she? I wonder, is this the same position you put her in when you're fucking and feeding off of her? draining her dry of her life force. It felt like he'd run a vat of acid straight through my chest, and the truth of his words made me almost wish that he had. I knew now that Max had enough power, that she wasn't affected by my demon half in a dangerous way anymore. But that hadn't always been the case. I'd hurt her. If he was right, and he was there when it happened, after all, maybe I'd even almost killed her. The suggestion of that alone sent a white-hot rage bubbling through my veins, eclipsing any calm and cool I'd been trying to project onto the immediate situation. And, because I was me, the bubbling rage had to go somewhere, otherwise it would eat me alive.
"Shut your fucking mouth before I thread your lips together with your fangs," I bit out.
His eyes narrowed, and he simply grinned, like he could see the self-loathing inside of me, and found it amusing to watch and poke at. I shoved the hand that wasn't holding him against the wall against his stomach wound, pressing into it. I wanted nothing more than for him to feel the anger that I felt, the pain. I couldn't contain the liquid anger pooling inside me anymore, not after everything we'd all been through. A deep, raspy groan pulled from his lips, but it quickly turned from the sound of agony to something disturbingly, almost sexual. "I have to say," he laughed, the sound deep and hollow. "I didn't quite see what she saw in you at first." He shrugged, though the movement was stilted under the pressure of my forearm. "I get it now. Hell has awakened something in you, hasn't it?" He shook his head, eyes glistening with mirth. "Don't worry. Max seems to be curious about blood play, too, and the boundary between sex and violence has always been slippery at best for sex demons. Your power is nascent, though. Barely a gentle lick along my neck. So be careful not to rely too heavily on a thrall you can't yet control. It will get you killed." I felt his smirk rather than heard it. "Again. And next time, you might not come back." My stomach hollowed, and my grip on him loosened instantly. I still didn't understand the incubus, or how my new powers worked. I couldn't turn them on or off at whim, and unlike Atlas with his wolf, it wasn't like I could use some obvious transformation to mark the distinction between us. I hadn't spoken to anyone since waking up as something unfamiliar, other than Max and the cloaked man. The former knew little about my powers, and the latter seemed to revel in keeping information just out of reach, like a carrot on a stick. I certainly hadn't been trying to use it on this prick. "Yeah? How about we do an experiment and see if I have enough strength to permanently detach your skull from your spine?" "Now, now, kitty," he said, voice a gravelly purr that made my stomach recoil. It was clear that he didn't fear me at all, that he found me nothing more than a nuisance, or, even worse, a thing to pity. "Let's not pretend like you're a baddie. After all, we're all only in this mess because of you. We've been braving the world of hell, trying to protect Max at all costs, while you've been kept in a safe little cage like a guinea pig. None of us would be here if you hadn't gotten yourself captured by the devil like a damned damsel in distress." He paused, expression oddly thoughtful. "Whatever the male equivalent of a damsel is. A dame? No, that's not right. Damn? Ah, fuck it. It's great alliteration either way. The point is, a little appreciation would be nice. Your friends came an awfully long way to find you. This is hardly a grateful, welcoming party you've got going on here. You know all about being stuck in a cage, wouldn't you? I felt my skin heat as I tried to contain the anger and guilt building inside of me, and bury the emotions before I exploded, before I did something that I couldn't control. Deep down, I knew that he was right, that all of my friends, Max included, were in danger because they were trying to save me. Hearing it from a vampire, that just made the sting so much worse. If you hadn't botched your first escape plan and tricked Max into letting you out of the lab, none of this would have happened. I knew it was a shitty thing to say, but I said it anyway. I never felt as useless as I had during these last few months. I'd done nothing but waste away in a dingy cell. Part of me wished that I'd never even reached Max through my dreams. The darker parts, again, going so far as to wish that I'd never survived the cloaked man's attack at all. If I hadn't, they wouldn't be here. They'd be sad, processing through their grief, but they'd be alive and tucked away safe and sound at Guild headquarters.
Declan's brows furrowed as her eyes landed on me, and I desperately tried to push back the thick thoughts that were starting to emerge.
The darkness inside of me had grown strong over my time here. The amount of force it took to keep it at bay was becoming more and more of a struggle. Every day I felt a little bit less like the version of myself I used to be, the version of myself I recognized. I wasn't sure how much longer I could last, how much more I could fight the darkness from consuming me completely. The vamp opened his mouth to respond, but Declan cut him off before he uttered a word.
"Jesus, we don't have time for this. Darius, back off the kid. He's not used to your shit and hasn't learned how to tune you out yet. And he's been through a metric shit ton of trauma since we've last seen him."
She stood up, but the motion was too quick for her current state, and she sat back down on the scraps of fabric I'd used as bedding. She scrunched her nose up, and I felt my cheeks warm in embarrassment. This place hadn't been cleaned since I'd arrived. Months ago. I hadn't even had a change of clothes or a shower. I was used to the stench now, but clearly that was an acquired state.
"Wade, look, as annoying as Darius is sometimes, he is not the enemy. He saved our asses more than once. We owe him. And even if we didn't, we don't have time for this pissing contest of depravity. Let him go, and then tell us what you know about the man who brought you here. As much as it kills me to say, the Fanghole is right. This situation is infinitely messier than we thought it would be. We need to work together if there's any chance of getting ourselves and Max out of here alive."
"We?
You can't seriously trust this asshole."
I couldn't hold back the disgust in my tone. Deck was the last person on the planet I'd ever expect to look at a vampire with even an iota of respect. What the hell had been happening while I was locked up in this shithole? I glanced down at the wolf that was sitting calmly, still as a statue, and as far from us as it could get, watching with yellow eyes that were filled with a layer of intelligence that made the hair at the back of my neck stand up.
"And what the hell is up with the wolf? Where's my brother?"
Declan let out a long sigh, the sort that parents often reserve for a particularly long day with a toddler. The realization that I was causing that sort of tired frustration loosened some of the animosity storming through me, but heightened the guilt. Still, it was enough to bring my heart rate down. I nodded, a silent apology. She stood up again, but much more slowly this time, and walked over to me. She nudged my elbow until I did as she said and let the vampire go. I hadn't even realized I was still pinning him.
That's the only bit of good news we've gotten since dropping into this place.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?